time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. It's pretty warm out there. According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in the studio in Elk City, we're at 93.4 degrees. Not really any wind showing up here. 40% humidity. Right now, 95 at the May Ranch, 93 at Arnett, home of famous Lori Campbell. 97 at Hollis, 100 at Granville out here in the Texas Panhandle, 94 at Wellington, 97 at Odell, 94 at Canadian, and 91 at the Paladora Reservoir. Got a great show lined up for you guys today. I have Dr. Glenn Gentry from the LSU University going to be on today here in just a little bit, talking about feral hogs and how they came up with the patent on some feral hog bait. And we're going to talk about feral hogs after this first segment. How about that? So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. You know why? Because yesterday, down there 7 miles west of Willow, I pulled in to check on some cows, and I knew where they'd be under the big cottonwood tree on the dam in the southeast corner of my property. So as I was easing down there, I could see down there, there was a couple of big calves laying on the banks there by the water. But I was still a little ways away from it. And I pulled up there and I stopped and I looked over there under that cottonwood, and all of them cattle and their calves were with them. And I looked back over there to the right of the pond and bam, there's 50 feral hogs in the water, and that's what was laying on the bank. I thought they were those black calves I had. They got out of the water, eased up top of the dam, could get two hoots about me. And when I got out of the truck, started walking down towards the pond, which afterwards I thought was stupid because I didn't have my pistol with me. And anyway, they eased on out, but when I left, they were still behind the dam, not scared of me or nothing. But I got the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture on it. So anyway, I didn't want to shoot at them with a pistol, mess them up. They're there, they're not scared, they're hanging out. So in my thoughts, traps are better than trying to shoot a couple out of a bunch of 50 of them, because that's a big bunch of hogs. Lots going on today. Today is the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. And speaking of Farm Bureau, tonight at the Sentinel Community Center, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau will kick off their grassroots policy development process with their August area meeting. We get an update from our public policy staff and then start forming new policy for delegates to consider at our state convention in November. So anyway, more than welcome to come down to Sentinel tonight to the Oklahoma Farm Bureau meeting. If I understood Monty right, I think there's 6-7 county farm bureaus will be at that deal tonight. And I've decided I'm going to go because I heard Jordan Davis Cook's going to be there, Monty Tucker, Jimmy Taylor. So they're all going to be in the same building, so I'm going to go get their autographs. So anyway, I'll see you guys down there tonight if you're attending. What else we got? Oh, I got to brag. I finally had to pick my cantaloupe yesterday, and some of you probably already seen it on Facebook. And anyway, 30 pounds, 5 ounces is what she ended up weighing. She's lost some weight as she ripened, which I didn't even think about that, but it did. So I think she was up there around 35 at one time, according to the measurements. She smells good, and can't wait to cut into her. I was trying to figure out how to keep her fresh for the county fair here in Beckham County, but it's 2 weeks away, and I just don't think it's possible. And I talked to some cantaloupe experts, and they didn't think it was either. Not 2 weeks, maybe a week, but not 2 weeks. So anyway, I'm super excited. I got some 15 to 20 pounders still in the garden right now. So anyway, that 30-pound cantaloupe is going to feed a lot of people. I'm going to be feeding it Saturday out here at the Elk City Golf Course. I'll be out there cooking for the Diamond in the Rough Golf Tournament with all the ladies out there. So, anyway, they'll be fun. They'll get to bite into it. I hope it's good anyway. It smells good. What else happened yesterday? Oh, have any of you guys ever dissected a grasshopper? I know we did frogs in school, but has anybody really dissected a grasshopper? Well, my little best buddy, Ruger Repito, showed me yesterday how to dissect it. And you ought to see what's on the inside of a grasshopper's head as far as teeth are concerned. They're human-like. Two big ones, and I think he told me there was three or four. Well, he did one in front of me yesterday. So I learned something. I didn't know the teeth on grasshoppers were so big. So you guys are lucky when you catch a grasshopper, they don't bite you. And I want you guys to sleep good tonight, but I don't know if they can bite into you. But those two big teeth that are human-like are huge inside that grasshopper's head. So I learned something yesterday from my little buddy Ruger Repito out there at the Willow Ridge Ranch. So pretty cool. All right, let's see here. What do we got going on that we need to talk about here for a few minutes? And then we'll go, let's just give you an update on the current market right now. Grains, we'll start with them. Looks like it's a mixed market today. Corn's down. September corn's at 471. December's down at 487. March is at 502. Soybeans are up. September 1364. November 1370. Soybean meal is up. September 423.50 a short ton. October 416.10. 413.10 for December. September soy. Bean oil, 65.06, and it's down about one, actually a little over a penny. October is 63.27, December 61.92. Hard red winter wheat, September 7.51, down basically three. December 7.61, down two. Oats are way up today, up over 25 for September at 4.69. December 4.93, up 22. Live cattle for August up 179, October 180.10, December 183.95, February 188.07. Feeder cattle for August is also up 245.95. Looks like it's up 92 cents. September's 250.50, up $1.92. Lean hogs are even up. October at 80.12, December 71.75, February 75.80. And cotton's even up a fraction of a penny. October cotton is 86 cents a pound, and December, 85 cents a pound. Sugar, my old man, sugar daddy over there at Delhi, he's not doing too well in the sugar market right now. It went down from 25, 26 cents a pound. It's down into the 23 cents range here the last couple weeks, so maybe he should have got his sugar out a little bit earlier. Oil's up today at $79.11 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. Natural gas is up even at $2.55. So, okay. The Oklahoma Farm Bureau is talking about them having their district meeting tonight at Sentinel. Well, they are Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus. Our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org and check out for your nearest agent. There's one in every county. Shouldn't have any problems. Well, before we take Oklahoma Farm Bureau, I just want to let you know, if you're out of radio range and you can't hear us on KECO or KWFX 100.1 out of Woodward, we have a free app. It's a Paragon Communications app. Download it on your phone. You can listen to us anywhere in the world you want to be. And if you don't have, if you run out of time or something, or you're busy eating lunch, you can always go to KECOFM.com, click on the shows, click on Today in Ag, and every one of my shows that were recorded, there's a big file of them right there. If you want to finish listening to one you missed out on or something, just check it out. And also information in the Penny News. The new one's out today, so make sure you stop by your favorite place to pick up the Penny News. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with a seed.
Good afternoon, O great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 21st. 948 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 461 brought 285. 21 at 562 brought 294. 6 at 639 brought 252. 17 at 768 brought 250. 16 at 785 brought 246. Drew, will you finish this out?
Ain't a problem at all. Jimmy Clark, here we go. 8 at 836 brought 234. 82 at 851 brought 238. 5 head of heifers at 492 brought 246. 13 at 510 brought 255. 26 at 540 brought 240. 30 at 659 brought 254. 14 at 886 brought 203. 10 at 934 brought 203. 16 at 974 brought 193. Butcher cows were 71 to 120. Butcher bulls brought 95 to 130. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095. Way to go, Jimmy. We killed it.
I know.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the hay wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache hay wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to this Oklahoma Farm Bureau Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. I've picked Miami, Texas for your update out in the Texas Panhandle. 94 degrees, heat index is 94, humidity is 34, dew point's 31. Winds are out of the south at 9 miles an hour. So far this month, 1.08 inches of rain. And 8-inch soil temperature is 81 degrees. Well, on the phone with me right now from the big state of Louisiana is Dr. Glenn Gentry. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Thank you.
I've been waiting on this. I mean, I had a little delay last Tuesday, but we've made it work today. And feral hogs, let's talk hogs. They're a major problem. Texas has 3 million estimated. Oklahoma comes in second at 1.5. Then there's Louisiana, Georgia, Florida. One that caught me off guard was Hawaii, 400,000 feral hogs on those islands out there. They got to be everywhere out there.
That's right. That's right. They're a big problem, and they're very adaptable just about anywhere you put them.
Well, you're the director of the Central Research Ag Center at LSU, and that's a big job for you, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, we have 17 research stations across the state of Louisiana that are basically commodity-based for the area, and I'm over two of them. So, yeah, it does take up quite a bit of time.
Well, let's get to the hog population. Before we get to the talk about the bait that you guys have patented down there, what has your research on feral hogs told you? What has it told you as far as diseases, crop damage, the whole nine? Myself personally, in the last 12 to 15 months, between my son and me, we've had somewhere around $40,000 to $50,000 worth of damage, and I'm the little guy, and I can just imagine what's happening to the big guys.
Right. Well, the population in Louisiana, when I started the research on the bait, which was probably about 10 years ago, Wildlife and Fisheries told us that there was about 600,000 pigs in the state of Louisiana. I was told a couple of weeks ago that number is approaching 1 million. And as far as crop damage, back in 2015, we had an ag economist do a survey, and it was estimated that just agronomic damage in Louisiana, which is what the Ag Center is basically interested in, was about $74 million annually to farmers. We did a similar survey last year, and it came in at $94 million. So the pig numbers here are growing. The farmers have a constant battle on their hands trying to control them. And the Ag Center, probably 10 years ago, received some money to start a program on trying to develop a feral pig bait from a family foundation here in Louisiana called Pennington Family Foundation. And that led to some other research funding opportunities. But basically, all the research that we've done in Louisiana has been funded by stakeholder groups such as the Louisiana Soybean and Grain Board and the Louisiana Rice Research and Promotion Board.
Well, they and you guys have spent a lot of money on it, and it takes a lot of money to do. You know, everybody thinks, "Well, we'll just go shoot them. We'll just go out there and hunt them with dogs. We'll just trap them. We'll get them with the helicopters." And from what I understand, I mean, I'm no dummy to hogs, but I've started researching a little more into it in the last 15 to basically a couple of years here, and there's no easy way to get rid of them, because what I discovered was, you know, these hogs were brought over from Europe and Asia back when Christopher Columbus was out exploring, and that was a pretty cool story. That they brought them with them, dropped them off on islands and other places so the next explorers would have food when they got there. And then you got, like back here in the 60s, I know here out here in western Oklahoma, the hogs weren't worth a penny, and people couldn't afford to feed them, so they turned them loose. And then you mix them in with these wild boar hogs, the feral, or they're all feral hogs, but mix them in there, and look what we got now.
That's right. That's right. You know, a lot of this is human mediated, just like you talked about. And we've run the numbers, and basically just to hold pig numbers where they are today, based on their fertility rate, you have to remove about 70% to 75% of the population. Typically, these hogs that are on the landscape that are feral will have a litter and a half of pigs a year that average about 6 piglets. So if you look at one pig and her offspring, and having their first litter at about 13 months. If you run that out to about 48 months, that single pig and her female offspring add hundreds of pigs to the landscape. And then when you run it out to 72 months, it's thousands. So it really is a steep incline. And people in Louisiana for a long time thought that they could shoot their way out of this, and there's just absolutely no way.
No.
The last few years in Louisiana, Wildlife and Fisheries has reported that we've killed more pigs in Louisiana than we have deer. And if we're sitting at about 1 million pigs, we should be removing 700,000 to 750,000, just to hold numbers where they are, and we're not even near that level right now.
Wow.
So, you know, there's really no way right now to control pigs the way they need to be controlled.
Right. You have your hobbyists, you want to call them, hobby hunters.
Yes.
You got your commercial hunts, mm-hmm. and people, you know, pay people to hunt hogs on a property and stuff like that. And then you have your agriculture departments. Like I can speak for the Department of Agriculture here in Oklahoma. They got trappers. One trapper might have one or two counties or stuff, and they do the best they can. But when you have landowners that also commercially have commercial hunting going on, you know, they don't want anybody flying over them, and that's their right as a landowner, and nobody flying over messing with their hogs. But the hogs are smarter than people think they are, and they figure out where they have a safe zone. And you go out and shoot one hog, and you scatter them. They'll be gone off your property for a couple weeks, and then they're going to come back because they know where the food is. And, you know, trapping and the helicopter seems to be the best way of containing them. And they've been doing a really good job on my properties. I can vouch for them on that deal. But they can't do it all with all these limitations.
No, absolutely not. And you're correct. Pigs are going to return where the food comes from, and they're very nomadic. So even if you shoot and trap all the pigs that you have on your place, which is very hard to do, and there's a void, there'll be another group comes through in a month or two and realize there's food there, and they're going to hit you again. So, you know, it takes large acres being put together to be able to try to control these pigs. They've run helicopter sorties in Louisiana. I would imagine that y'all's landscape probably lends it a little better than we do when you get up here in central and north Louisiana with all the trees.
Right.
But you really have to go in and remove a large part of that population to knock the numbers down, and then you have to stay after them, or that population will grow right back to where it was, if not exceed the previous level.
Right. Well, I read a story in Outdoor Life, and I think it was in 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
They hired a guy to go in there at Fort Benning, Georgia, because Georgia's got as many hogs as anybody, and they hired to go in there, and they gave him 20,000 acres and 5 years to get rid of all the hogs, and he did,
mm-hmm.
and he did,
mm-hmm.
and what he found mm-hmm. out, what he found out in all of his studies there, you get rid of your number one and number two sows right off the bat,
right,
and mm-hmm. you keep after those females, because everybody wants to go after the boar. And I mean, I don't blame them. If you're going to go after a trophy, that's what you do. But if you're serious about getting rid of hogs, you go after the ladies. And,
that's right.
And then the boars will move on to go find the new girlfriends, if they can find any. But
mm-hmm.
in 5 years, on 20,000 acres, he got rid of all the hogs, and he had test plots and 5,000-acre plots, and he seen what was working here, and he'd move it to the next one. Get rid of your number one and number two sows, and you get rid of the problem, because those young piglets cannot operate without their mama.
That's correct. In fact, there was a research study done on an island just off the South American coast. I think the island was probably, if I remember correctly, a couple of miles wide and about 5 miles long. And they decided to eradicate pigs on that island, and they did. And they used trapping, hunting, poisons, everything that they could do. And it took them 30 years to get every pig removed from that particular island.
From just a little island.
Yep. So for these folks that, you know, that hunt pigs, and I think they should hunt them. I think it's fun. You know, I've hunted them. And they have this idea that when a poison or something like that gets on the landscape, the pigs are going to disappear. Well, that's not going to be the case. I mean, it's just going to be another tool and toolbox that people like Wildlife and Fisheries and Department of Ag use to try to control the population. I like to equate it to rats. I mean, we've been poisoning rats for 50 years, but we still have rats.
Right.
So when you hear things in the media that says they're going to eradicate pigs, pigs are not going to be eradicated from North America. Pigs are here to stay. We're just going to have to learn how to control that population to where the damage that they inflict is significantly reduced, especially to our agronomic inputs.
Right. And we got we have some disputes, not just in Oklahoma, but in Texas, and probably you have some down in Louisiana, where you got some landowners that like to, hunt hogs, and they have hogs on their property, mm-hmm. but their neighbor over here doesn't like hogs, and there's a lot of damage being done. And I'm not saying this to stir any blood pressure up. I'm telling the honest truth here is, this guy over here hunting his hogs because he likes to hunt hogs, is he willing to pay for the damage on his neighbor's crop ground? You got all that going uh-huh. on. And so it probably already is getting heated in areas, but because the hog population, I think, in Oklahoma is on the rise in a big time. I've owned that property down there west of Willow over 10 years now. And first 5 years, I never seen nothing but quail, deer, and rattlesnakes. Now I see hogs every time I'm down there, and it's just mm-hmm. Frustrating. But like I said, we got people want it.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Gentry, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I would imagine that the number of deer that you've seen down there has probably been reduced too.
I'd say a little bit, and there yes. wasn't a lot down there in the breaks to start with, and you hear hogs getting blamed for quail, turkey raiding their uh-huh. nest and all that, and from what I've seen, those hogs got some nose on them that make Blake Shelton's coon dog on his song that he sang. They got some noses on them, but they're going to eat anything they can, anything and everything.
That's absolutely correct.
And so anyway, well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about this bait that you guys have developed and patented. So if you'll hang on with me a second, Doctor, we'll be right back.
Will do.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Attention parents and grandparents. Are you looking for some family fun at a reasonable price? Come to the racetrack in Elk City and get a whole night of action-packed excitement for just $10 to $15 per person. To make it even more affordable, kids under 8 are free. This Saturday, the Sooner Limited Modified Series returns along with our factory stock and tuner divisions. Plus, you can meet all the racers during intermission. Bring the kids because all 60 to 80 racers will be lined up on the track with their cars, giving away free candy, swag, and autographs at halftime. The grandstands open at 5 p.m. with races starting at 8 p.m. We're starting a little later to let it cool down, but we should still be finished by 10:30. And as a special treat this weekend, we've got country recording artist Jake Gill in town to sing our anthem. We've got a full concession stand, so come hungry. For more details, follow Elk City Motorsports Park on Facebook or go to elkcitymotorsportspark.com. Let's get sideways this Saturday.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that Napa replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City Napa store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Today in Ag show, brought to you today by the Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Alva, 99 degrees right now. Feels like 102. Dew point 64. Humidity's 32. Winds are out of the south at 7 miles an hour. Sunset at 8:16. Easy forecast for a few days here. 101 today, 102 tomorrow, 98 Saturday. Saturday night, 30% chance of rain. Sunday, 20% chance of rain and 91. Sunday night, 30% chance of rain. And Monday, 90 degrees. That's way better than 102, I'm going to tell you. On the phone with me right now is Dr. Glenn Gentry. He is the director of the Central Research Ag Center for the University of LSU. Welcome back, sir. Thank you for hanging on with me.
Oh, you bet. You bet.
Well, let's talk about this new innovative feral hog control bait that you were a big part in developing, because I have some ideas for you. So, let's talk about it.
This research, like I said earlier, started about 10 years ago, and the Ag Center was approached to develop a bait that was toxic to feral pigs, and the USDA was interested in sodium nitrite. Now, sodium nitrite is used in human food every day. If you had sausage or bacon, you ate sodium nitrite. The pigs can eat sodium nitrite. They just can't have a whole lot of it at one time. What happens is it induces something like nitrate poisoning in your cattle. It does the same thing in pigs. And pigs don't have enough of an enzyme to reverse that process like humans do. So you can basically give them a bolus dose of sodium nitrite, and the pig will suffocate from the inside out. So we did some studies early on looking at LD90 levels, which is the lethal dose required to kill 90% of our test population. And when we finished up with that experiment, we found that it takes about 188 milligrams per kilogram of sodium nitrite to kill pigs. Well, 188 milligrams per kilogram is the same thing as saying 188 parts per million. And the FDA says that humans can consume up to 200 parts per million of sodium nitrite in a finished human product. So basically, it takes less to kill a pig than humans can safely consume. So that removed a big threat, in that if you have a pig on the landscape that's got a sublethal dose of sodium nitrite, it should not affect a human that shoots the pig and eats the meat. In fact, some research out of Texas showed that pigs didn't have any more than 100 parts per million in any part of their body, in any organs, except for the stomach content. And so it makes it relatively safe. The problem with sodium nitrite is a double-edged sword. For the environment, it works very well because it's not something that's going to hang around a lot. It's hygrophobic, which means that it will pull moisture from the air. And if I took a cup of a half a cup of sodium nitrite, set it on the table, especially down here in Louisiana where we have humidity levels 60, 80, 90%, and I come back an hour later, that cup's going to be half full of water. So that water coming in, if it's slightly acidic, makes that sodium nitrite not as lethal. It converts to nitrous acid, it converts to sodium, all kinds of other things. So sodium nitrite on the landscape doesn't look like it's going to be an issue for other animals. The problem is you have to be able to design a bait that you can get the sodium nitrite in the animal without it converting to these inactive compounds. So for a long time, we thought we were going to have to encapsulate this crystal in something that when the pig ate, the outer coating would be removed and sodium nitrite was released. Well, I'm a trained reproductive physiologist, so this is way out of my ballpark. I spent probably 6 or 8 months trying to figure it out, and I would either not encapsulate it enough and it would convert, or I'd encapsulate it so well that I could feed a pig 5 times the lethal dose and it wouldn't affect them. So I contacted Dr. John Poyman, who is in our LSU chemistry department on the main campus in Baton Rouge, worked with his group, and they determined that if we adjusted the pH of the bait and put it slightly alkaline, so 7.5 to 8 on the pH scale, the sodium nitrite would not convert. It would stay sodium nitrite and it would remain effective.
Really?
Yes. So at the same time, we were running preference trials. Now, that's probably been the most interesting part of everything that I've done for me personally, in that we were trying to determine what compounds and what types of things we needed to put in the bait so the pig would eat it. Well, you would think they're pigs, and they would probably just eat about anything. Well, that's really not the case. We tested all kinds of things. We tested peanut butter, marshmallows, honey, molasses, everything, and we compared it to wholesale corn, just like you were telling me before we talked, you know, you were having issues pig going in the corn.
Right.
We know they like corn. We know they like corn, so that was our controlled corn, and we would video the pigs and offer them two things and see what they ate first. Well, I read so one day, I had a research associate. We had done all these things. Everything was wholesale corn. So I sent him down, look, we've got a lake on the station, and I told him LSU's going to pay you today to catch a fish. So he went down, caught a bass. We fed the bass to the fish. We fed the bass to the pig and compared it to corn, and there was no preference. He ate the bass just as quick as they ate the corn. So I was reading some work coming out of Texas, and pigs are after calories. I racked my brain trying to figure out how I could increase calories in that, and thought, well, maybe I'll just remove the water. So we started with bass. We dehydrated the bass, and that was the key. The pigs would eat the dehydrated bass before they would eat the corn. So then we moved to pogies, which is a big industry in Louisiana. We used dehydrated pogie fish, and that's what got us our start. So now we have a bait that we've tested alongside wholesale corn, where if you deliver our bait, pigs will leave wholesale corn. They will eat our bait and then go back to eating wholesale corn. Now, in our lethal dose trials, we found out that it takes about 2.5 to 3 hours if a pig gets a lethal dose for that pig to pass on. That's right. He lays down, goes to sleep, and never wakes up, which is a good thing.
Yes.
So we designed this bait to where the pigs you'd be able to set up a delivery system along with a wildlife feeder, and when pigs come to the feeder, there's, it'll send you pictures, and if there's pigs there eating corn, you can release the bait. The pigs will leave the corn, eat the bait, go back to eating the corn. If they get a lethal dose, they're dead in 2.5-3 hours. If they don't, they'll come back the next night and do it all over again. So it's worked out. It's worked out for us very well. All of this was done within pens. So right now we're trying to work with the EPA to get experimental use permits so we can move out on the landscape and make sure that the pigs that can come and go as they please will react the same way as the ones that we had the pens.
Right.
And that's been a challenge. Now, you mentioned earlier that pigs can smell very well.
Yes.
Well, one of the things that we're working on is a second delivery system that doesn't use cellular technology and cameras. Basically, what we have is it'll take a picture, like in a trap, send you a picture. You can text the machine will release the baits. The problem we have in Louisiana, and my guess is in Oklahoma too, is the pigs don't always live where there's a cell signal. So working with the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, their veterinarian, Dr. Jim LaCour, has come up with an idea, and we've tested it, where you actually bury the baits. So you can go in and bury baits 2-4 inches below the ground and cover them up. The pigs will come through and smell the baits. They'll root them up and consume the baits. So that's another thing that we would like to test out on the landscape, so that farmers like yourself may be able at some time to hook some kind of implement behind a tractor and ring their fields with these baits if need be. So when the pigs come in from the woods or the marsh,
how cool would that be?
They would root up the baits and consume the baits, and hopefully the damage to the corn plots would be reduced. Now, one thing I think you might find really interesting is we had a program at one point where we were providing traps to farmers, and we got a drone. We used the drone to determine where the most damage was, where the pigs were coming from, so we could go place a trap. But we ran across a situation where there was a field of corn on the right. In the middle was another field of corn. On the left was soybean, and below that was milo. And that one little field in the middle was eat up with pig damage, and they hadn't touched any of the fields left, right, or below that. And when we asked him what it was, he said it was his refuge corn. Now, you know what refuge corn is, but for those that do not, it doesn't have the BT technologies for the earworm in it. So we tested that here on the station, and sure enough, that happened. Well, for a while, we thought that they were averse to BT. It wasn't like they wouldn't eat it, but they preferred other varieties and lines instead. So we ran another trial where we planted different BT technologies along with conventional and along with Roundup Ready. Well, what we found out from that trial is the pigs prefer Roundup Ready corn over non-Roundup Ready corn.
Imagine that. That's what I had.
Yeah, and they prefer Roundup Ready and BT corn to conventional. In fact, the last corn standing in our trials was conventional corn.
Wow.
And same thing works. It works the same way in soybeans. We did a soybean trial, planted soybeans. The pigs preferred the Roundup Ready soybeans over the non-Roundup Ready soybeans. So there's a lot of interesting things coming on. So the patent that we got was based on non-encapsulated sodium nitrite. There's other groups working with sodium nitrite. All of their stuff is encapsulated. And that was the nook that we got in, was we no longer have to encapsulate the sodium nitrite, which we think will make bait making much easier just by adjusting the pH.
I got
you. So that's kind of where we are right now.
If you get on your page and you're looking at these, they look like they're about the size of a golf ball. Am I correct?
Yeah, they're a little bit bigger than a golf ball. They're about 1.75 to 2 inches in diameter. And one other thing that I'm going to say about that is when we designed this bait, from early on, I wanted to make something that didn't fracture and crumble. So the consistency is somewhat like a gummy bear. So when the pigs bite into it, you don't have crumbs hit the ground. You might have bigger chunks so they can go back and find it.
Right.
We put a fluorescent, we put a fluorescent dye in the bait so that you can hit it with a black light and it'll fluoresce. So when we feed in our pens these baits, and when we feed blank baits on the landscape, we go out the next day or next morning before daylight, and we see how many, we call them crumbs, orts, whatever you'd like to call it, on the ground. We've yet to find anything because the small crumbles and crumbs that are left if you eat something like a cattle cube could be potentially dangerous to birds and other wildlife species.
Dr. Gentry, do you got about five more minutes? I need to take one more break, and we'll come up,
sure.
Come back, finish the show. We'll take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break real quick. We'll come back, and I have a new delivery system for you.
All right.
All right. Be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Elk City Rodeo is more than just a rodeo. It's getting together with family and friends, standing up for the American flag and for what's right. Pride in who we are. This is Wayne Brooks inviting you to the 85th anniversary of the Elk City Rodeo, September 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Brought to you by Duck Gray Dodge and Ram. Tickets are on sale online at elkcityrodeo.com and at Circle A Western Wear. The Elk City Rodeo, September 1st through the 3rd. The Great Elk City Rodeo. See you there.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website. WallEquip.com. WallEquip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know, you know, what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours, they can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair. And they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, before we get back to Dr. Gentry from LSU University down there in Louisiana, quick Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I picked Hollis, 97 degrees Today 102, tomorrow 105, Saturday 105, Sunday 100, but Sunday night and Monday 40% chance of showers and 92 for your high Monday. Well, back on the phone with me is Dr. Glenn Gentry from LSU. He is the director for the Central Research Ag Center down there, and we're talking feral hogs. And so before I get to my new delivery system for you, what have you found out with this bait? Does it affect any other animals, including cattle or horses?
The bait we've not tried in front of cattle or horses. We think that the delivery system probably is going to negate some of that kind of stuff. We have placed it. We do have a captive white-tailed deer at our station in Clinton, the Bob Barr Jones Audubon Research Station, and we've placed blank baits in the feeders where the deer eat the pelleted feed. The deer will not consume the bait, but it is sodium nitrite, and so any mammal that consumes enough of it, and it's very species specific, could be at risk. So it's going to have to be very careful how it's delivered in the field. That's why we're working on different delivery methods.
I got you. Well, here's my delivery method. Since those things are round and are a little bit bigger than a golf ball, yesterday when I pulled up to those 50 hogs that was down there by the pond and they weren't scared of me, I could have got out of the truck with a golf club and I could have hit these over there to them and fed them right on the spot. So, that's my...
Well, that would be your method. The consistency of the bait probably won't let that happen, but interestingly enough, I've got pictures of my research associate in our pens at Ottawa rolling the baits to these feral pigs and them picking them up and eating.
So, I got you.
Yeah, so they really like the bait.
I got you. Well, your weight, you guys got your patent, and you're waiting on working with the EPA, and I hope you will keep us updated when we can get this out there to the public.
Absolutely, absolutely. And people ask how long it's going to take. With the EPA, when I submit an experimental use protocol, they have 18 months to review the protocol. Then I can run the study. I've got 2 years. And then once I submit my data to the EPA, they've got 3 years to review it.
Okay.
So it's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be a few years off, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and that's fine. Well, if you need to run some tests up here in Oklahoma to make sure that the hogs, feral hogs up here in Oklahoma, act just like the ones down there in Louisiana, you have my email, sir.
I will be contacting you, Jimmy.
Yeah, we got it hooked up, and they person texted in. It was on the Lacey Lowry, newscaster from Channel 9 News there in Oklahoma City. She posted a deal where there's down by El Dorado, some hogs were crossing the highway in front of a semi, and there was a bunch of them. I mean, it was just, oh my God, just so many of them. Well, yesterday, the government trapper flew with the helicopter down there, and they got 159 of them. How about that?
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, that is pretty good.
That is really good, and hopefully we got to do something. And like I said, I know there's people that like to hunt hogs. I love to hunt animal, you know, wildlife as much as anything, but if they could see how it's hurting their neighbors' pocketbooks,
mm-hmm.
with their farm ground,
right.
And doing the damage to the grasslands, and you know, because hogs are not they don't have a season. Russian thistle. They're an invasive species, and they got to be dealt with.
Absolutely. In fact, Wildlife and Fisheries in Louisiana has allowed people to hunt year-round 24/7 for hogs.
Yep.
So there's no season. You go get them day, night. It doesn't matter.
Well, Dr. Glenn Gentry, thank you so much for coming on, and I should have had you on for the whole hour. I knew better. I knew this was going to be more than a 3-segment conversation, but you covered it really well, and it's very interesting what you said about the hogs, Roundup Ready versus conventional crops. That caught me off guard. I didn't read that nowhere. That was pretty interesting.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, you have a great day, sir.
All You too.
Pleasure talking with you.
Nice talking with you.
All right, thank you. All right. Well, we got that timed out just right. Hope everybody enjoyed that today. I know my guy from French Quarters up there at Pack Saddle, he understood that Louisiana language really well. So anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Remember, the Oklahoma Farm Bureau is having their district meeting down there at Sentinel at the community building at 6 o'clock. Please join them. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.